Yo, what's up, guys? Happy Monday and welcome into Stacking Dubs, where the Warriors stack their third straight dub in a row, beating the Pelicans fairly handily, maintained a double-digit lead for the most part, and thanks to Moses Moody getting hot from the get-go. Not the best game from Steph, not the best game from Butler, who the game didn't really require to be at their best, but a Moses Moody onslaught of threes, and the Warriors, I don't want to say escape, but they get by what I would have considered a pretty decent trap game for what we've seen out of the Warriors in the past couple years, coming off two huge wins against the Spurs. Go over to New Orleans, where plenty of distractions in New Orleans, beignets, low jazz music, whatever you want to call Bourbon Streets. But especially with the Pelicans essentially changing head coaches, and you know, you go through that, I guess we'll call it like a honeymoon phase with a new coach. You assume they're going to come out, play hard, and just kind of come out a little bit more inspired, which they actually did come out and play very hard the entire time and gave a pretty good effort. But Moses Moody getting hot will silence that pretty quickly. And then lastly, the Warriors, I guess, bugaboo, Achilles heel, has been playing teams without their star players, especially because Zion Williamson was questionable with that hamstring, ended up being ruled out. Jordan Poole out. And yeah, just had the makings for a bad Pelicans team who, I don't know. I don't know that they're worse than the Pacers team that we lost to at one point, or the Giannis-less Bucks that we lost to, but all the reason for a trap game. But again, Warriors take care of business, made it a little interesting at times. You could see once they got up a little handily by like 16, 18 points, let go of the rope a little bit. It's going to happen naturally. I get it, but we're able to focus back down and continue riding the hot shooting of Moses Moody. So, yeah, I mean, we're not going to talk about too much today. Really, we're going to talk about Moody for the most part. 32 points, 8 of 12 from 3. And then particularly what I like, which we've seen an increase of this season, 3 steals, 1 block. Defensive end just continuing to be a disruptor, continuing to do what he did towards the end of last year, just as a point of attack defender that can use that length to steal some cookies, get a few blocks here and there, just getting a little bit better and like that weak side help, and just a little bit better off ball awareness on defense. And this game was just kind of the epitome of how his season's really going, which got off to a slow start as he was nursing that calf injury and took a few games to really get up to speed coming off the bench. What is he, like the 9th or 10th guy off the bench? And you know, those kept his numbers down a little bit, but since then, his season numbers, 13 points, career high, 3 made threes per game on 6.5 attempts. He's shooting 45% from 3. I don't expect him to continue at 45%, but it's very realistic to think that he can continue above 40%. I've always thought his three-point shot looks very, very fluid, very nice, and he changed his mechanics just to be a little bit more compact, quicker release. We've talked about him, that little dip he used to have. That seems to be pretty much gone, and you know, the work that he's done in the offseason, I expect him to continue being above, what's he, like a 36.5%, 37% career three-point shooter, and shoot something closer to 40% for the rest of the season. 0.9 steals, career high, and then 0.8 blocks, which is like double his career average of like 0.4. So I don't know if that will continue, but just shows that he's making more of an impact on that side of the ball, starting to see things and anticipate things, and can just be a little bit more active using that length once again. Also, what I really like about Moses is his attacking the hoop and getting to the free throw line. It's been steady growth in that. And, you know, early in his career, he was out of control, didn't really have any craftiness finishing, wasn't a good finisher in general, always seemed to either get blocked or just kind of flailing, falling, throwing up an unbalanced layup attempt. Now you see him starting to get under control at the hoop. You know, he's using his length to get to the backboard better. He's, you know, finding ways to get under control. You see some more jump stops and kind of coming off 2 feet in that key, and just getting to the line more. He's getting there 2.5 times per game, which is a big increase on, I think he's like usually under 2 times per game for his career. And he's shooting a career high 84% from the line, which I would expect given that he is a shooter and needs to be shooting above 80%. And if he's going to get there an extra time or so per game than usual, might as well knock it down. It's been steady growth for Moses. And that's what I like the most, from the time he was drafted ahead of Trey Murphy, which we won't really talk about, but he had a better game last night than Trey Murphy, who looked okay, but in a lead role, I would have liked to seen a little bit more considering we were talking about moving three first round picks in Kuminga and potentially Moody or Pods for him at one point. That seems a little bit steep now, but hey, the last couple of days, it's easy to change your mind and be a victim of the moment. Back to Moody, it's just the off-season work and just the approach. We've always thought he's a wise, old, mature soul, and just as he's steadily grown, just in all aspects of his game, you look at the process. You look at this day and age, you're able to see a lot of the off-season training videos, and you see him, working not just for highlight reel off-season clips, but just like the small things. It's just like there was a video of him working with Jerome Randle, former NBA point guard, Cal Bears point guard. I used to be a Cal fan before I went to UCLA, but yeah, it's just he. You see him just kind of working on just that little killer crossover, just the extra hesitation, just the reading the defense one step at a time. It's all the like subtle, detailed nuances that really add up in the long run. It's not just about getting reps. It's not about just about playing in the off season. It's about really honing into your craft and finding, two, three, four improvements you want to make, and then really mastering those. Whether it's the ball handling, whether it's changing the mechanics on his release on his shot, whether it's finishing at the hoop, focus on those three things. You don't need to focus on trying to be a jack of all trades and getting better everywhere. And that will just kind of come with time. I like that he will just really kind of give himself some focused offseason training, focus on one thing at a time, and just see improvements there. And then again, the rest will come, just like your defense, and just, like playing on a string on defense and just kind of just the experience of playing with Steph and the offense in this system. You compare that, and I hate to even throw his name out there. He didn't even play, but you see the offseason tapes from Kuminga where it seems like he's just out there running and basically playing one-on-one against a whole bunch of Joe Schmoes with blocking pads, and you just don't know, are you actually getting that same focused work? It's hard to tell from the public eye. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't, but I just thought it was pretty telling when you compare the steady growth and then just the off-season training habits, like a Moody versus somebody like a Kuminga. But again, I'm not gonna get Kuminga involved in this conversation right now. More back to Moody, he's more or less established himself as just like the Warriors' best 3-and-D player, just in that role, right? I mean, probably our best 3-point shooter outside of Steph. Defensively, probably our best non-one-way defensive player, like a GP2, Moody basically that two-way role, and you can put him as a point of attack defender. And I like that he can guard, one through three. Any of those perimeter defenders, he's got the perimeter offensive players. He's got the length to guard. He's got the strength to stay with, and then he's got the quickness and lateral movement to kind of stay with some of those quicker guards. And it's just really gives you the flexibility to play that whichever fifth starter that you want, whether it's Will Richard, whether you want to go big and play post, whether Melton comes back and he's in there for Richard instead, and you're just getting in that kind of a lineup you're looking at now. You have two really good perimeter defenders. You have two guys that can space the floor, either that being Moody and Richard or Moody and Melton, guys that are going to get you extra possessions and just kind of give you that young hustle element. And you just gotta kind of get that dog in you, right? Like Moody's just kind of a dog. He's like an OG dog. He's not a pit bull. He's not someone that's just gonna be, deboing you for your lunch. But he's just kind of just gonna be steadily sneaky, steadily consistent, and then he's just gonna rip your heart out when the time comes for him to do so. And last night was one of those nights. In general, it feels like the lineups. Yeah, we're still tinkering around a bit and we're still playing different combinations. Everything feels a little bit more balanced. It feels like whereas last year you have two holes whether it's spacing, whether it's size, I guess that's still kind of an issue. Whether it's a defensive liability, whatever the case may be, whether it's a connector, it seemed like there were at least two or three holes with every lineup you put out there. But now with, the emergence of like Moody, with the emergence of Will Richard, with Horford being there on the back end as a big that can shoot and stretch space the floor, it feels like now most lineups are pretty balanced. You're not really missing out on too much spacing, except for when you have Kuminga lineups. But because when Kuminga's in there, you're getting additional benefits. It's not always the best fit balance in terms of spacing and defense in Steve Kerr's eyes, but you're adding just an elite athlete to those lineups and just the play the explosive scoring capabilities of Kuminga. So those lineups are a little bit wonky at times, but when he's playing well, they work. My point being that you just have a lot more options that do not have as many flaws in lineups. There's times where you do have, a non-shooter. Sometimes you have two non-shooters, but those are the lineups you have Steph in. You have someone like Moody in, who is a true floor spacer now, and the lineups just seem to work a bit better. Maybe I'm just a prisoner of the moment of winning three straight games, but when you just look at these lineups on paper, they seem to make a bit more sense. Yeah, they can be a little undersized at times, but I think we need to, I guess, move past that. I understand we're small, but the Warriors rebound, the Warriors play good defense, the Warriors do a good job where they're not just really getting abused by a big. See, hey, we beat Jokic and the Nuggets, we beat Wemby and the Spurs. You're holding your own against these bigs just fine because of Draymond, because you also have Horford now, because Post is a better defender than he used to be last year. The size you should and hopefully will get a little bit bigger and just get a little another front court depth piece. But that being said, it's not why you're losing games at this point. And so my point being that, hey, the flaws that these lineups have are able to work around because you can make up for them when you only have a spacing issue with this lineup or a connector issue with that lineup, et cetera. Last thing I want to talk about is our dude Draymond, who continues to get into some conflict, but it's a little less explosive than it used to be. That being said, he sought out a fan in the crowd, which initially when that happened, I'm like, dude, what is this fan doing? Like, get this fan out of here. This is ridiculous. After hearing what actually happened, including hearing Draymond's account, I don't think Draymond should have gone into the crowd there. So what happened, if you didn't know, is that Draymond had like a possession where you have like four or five missed layups and then rebounds, aka me bounds, like an Angel Reese does and is famous for and has even trademarked the term me bounds. And then he's just started getting called Angel Reese by either that guy or several people along the baseline in the game. And it was enough to the point where a few possessions later, Draymond had had enough and confronted the fan, which everyone handled it well enough. It was a conversation. It didn't escalate, but the fan obviously had to identify himself to the security and just kind of sit down and get a stern eye from his wife who was sitting there. Side note, that guy was bigger than Draymond, and that would have been interesting had that actually gone a little more physical. Point being, that's a really good troll job. Calling Draymond Green Angel Reese is fantastic. That's a really good troll job. And even Draymond said, hey, that was actually a pretty good one. But then you just keep calling me a girl and I'm a man and I'm a father and et cetera, et cetera. I don't know, Dre, dude. Like, I mean, the fact that you let that get to you, I mean, if I'm a fan in Orlando tomorrow or a fan in Miami, I am calling you Angel Reese and the entire home crowd is going to be chanting Angel Reese at you for the next several weeks, if not longer, because they know it gets under your skin, because it's a fantastic troll job, and because, quite frankly, they can. And the only way I see this going is that that's going to happen, and then Dre's going to have to hop on his podcast and talk about how great a person and player Angel Reese is, and how it's actually a compliment, and how he embraces being called Angel Reese because she's such a great rebounder and ambassador for the sport of basketball. And that's how this is all going to play out. So I just thought it was quite an interesting little side story here, and we'll see how it actually plays out. As far as on the court, Draymond, it seems like the defense is, and just the energy much better. I think he's quite frankly a little, dinged up and just exhausted, and he came into the season a little out of shape, a little overweight. Seems to have been caught up a bit conditioning wise, where now he is making a lot more plays, a little more proactive, being more of a disruptor. Was very good last night on the defensive end. Obviously was fantastic against Wemby and the Spurs for both games. And you're starting to see the best version of Draymond defensively. Offensively, bro, I mean, you shot another 13 field goal attempts last night. You were 3 for 13, which I don't know, what's that put you at, like 5 for your last 35 or something like that, averaging close to 13 field goal attempts per game over your last three. There's no reason you need to be taking this many shots. You can take the open three, especially you like to take in early possessions early in the game. That's to see if you're going to be on or off that night. So when you miss your first three of those, I think you need to stop. You need to at least start exploring other options. Get to the hoop to, or get to the paint to be a creator. Yeah, if the layup's there, take the layup. But man, I mean, it well, thinking back, I mean, maybe 4 or 5 of those attempts were on that one possession. Point being that, hey, dude, like you can't be above 10 field goal attempts per game, especially in good games and close games like that, where Jimmy Butler's taking 8, Curry's taking 11, and you and Pods are taking 13 shots each. Pods was fine last night because he shot well and had 19 points. But you, hey, can't be 3 for 13 in any game. That needs to hone in just a little bit more. All right, off to Florida, Orlando, Miami. Let's not get ca too caught up in that Miami scene. I know Jimmy Butler is returning to Miami. There is going to be some social gatherings, I am sure, by him, by Dre, by everybody. So enjoy yourselves. But remember, you have a back-to-back. You need to take care of business against Orlando, who is out without Paolo Banchero. Gotta take care of that game first. Then go into Miami and give it your all, and show Wiggins that he wishes he was still a Warrior. Bodes well that the Warriors are actually able to blow out the Pelicans enough where guys, that's main star, the veterans were able to get some rest and not have to play too many minutes. You did your part on that end, so you didn't have to expend yourself too much. Now you got to make it count and go attack this back to back. All right, I will talk to you guys after that. Christian here, and until next time, peace, love, and stacking dubs.